I thank you this morning for being here, and I thank you for your prayers. I stand in need of your prayers. I've been a little under the weather the last few days and been a little stopped up. In my work, I've had everybody offer me every kind of remedy. I think I've tried every type of cough drop, and everybody has the exact cough drop or cold medicine you need to cure your ill. So everybody that comes up and gives me, this is the one, though, that'll do it. So I've tried about all of them, so I don't need any new. I just need probably some time to recover. So I stand in need of your prayers this morning, but I want to talk to you for a few minutes this morning. I can continue to stand, and I'm not feeling extremely well, but while I can, I want to talk to you this morning. I want to talk to you. I want to talk to you individually. I mean, that's you and you and you, and I'll knock the microphone too, I guess. I may have messed it up. I'm going to make more noise. Would it be all right without that?
Yeah.
I want to talk to each one of you individually. This is a matter that I hope that has an impact on you personally. And it's a matter of helping to solve our problems in this world. If you've got any problems, whether it's maybe a family matter or financial matter, or you've got any issues that you have to deal with, a debt or finances or a problem with somebody, or you may have a health problem. And we talked about some of them this morning, various people have. You know, it gets tough sometimes because I visited with a lady here a while back that had cancer, and she felt like, you know, I don't think the Lord is hearing my prayers. And we know the Lord does hear your prayers, and that's what I want to focus on in this morning, though, is you. Not only you, the power that you have as an individual, but the power and influence you have by yourself, no matter who you are, no matter what place you are, position you are in life, that you do have the ability to respond because you've got somebody to respond to. I want to start with Proverbs, third chapter of Proverbs, verse 5 and 6. This is kind of what I want to base my talk to you on this morning. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Starts off with trust in the Lord. You know, sometimes that's the last place that we put our trust. It says trust in the Lord, and not lean not to your own understanding. I'm much more inclined to lean to my own more understanding of what I need in my life. You know, a lot of times the last place I go is to the Lord, and it ought to be the first place that I go. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord means to depend on him. And that's what the last song we sang, on him I will depend. We've got to depend and trust on the Lord with all our heart. Not with part of it, but all of it, all the time. We ought to have the Lord on our mind nearly every minute of the day, all day long. We ought to constantly be thinking about him in whatever we do and wherever we go. Have the Lord first and foremost on our mind. Now, in this deal, trust the Lord with all your heart, lean not unto your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. He makes an absolute promise there. He shall direct thy paths. If we do these others, trust in the Lord, lean not to our own understanding, he shall direct our paths. Sometimes I know I get mixed up in this world and I don't feel like I know which way to go or where to go. They're telling us here that if we'll depend on him, pray to him, you'll wake up in the morning and suddenly things will be different and you'll have a clearer understanding. And that's what this is trying to tell us. Now, this is not talking about eternal salvation. Anything in this Bible doesn't teach us anything that we have to do to get eternal salvation. And I think you all know that. I hope I'm preaching to the choir on that regard. But you are a child of God, and that's what I want to start with and emphasize. You are a child of God. You're a child of the Most High King. Think of how good it'd be. You know, our own understanding is it'd be nice to be the child of a king. Wouldn't you like to be child of the King of England? You'd have everything nice for you. You'd have plenty of money, plenty of power and influence. You might even be king yourself someday. Well, you are a child of the king. And with that comes a lot of benefits. Benefits that I know I don't take advantage of all the time. but that he offers us. We have the ability to go to him anytime we get ready. You do. You personally do. And we know that, you know, Apostle Peter tells us in Acts and Apostle Paul tells us in Romans, Lord's not a respecter of persons. It doesn't matter if you're a minister, if you're a deacon, or if you're the lowest person you feel like in the church, you sit on the left side, the right side, you're black or brown. Lord doesn't respect persons. Your prayer has just as much impact as anybody else's. I mean, you know, whether the Lord had a mother, Jesus had the mother Mary, an earthly mother on this in this world. Excuse me. And he loved her as a mother, and he indicated he did, but he didn't have any different respect for her and her impact to approach him, either on an eternal salvation basis or a blessing basis, than you do. You have the ability to go directly to the Lord who can solve every one of the problems. I know we can get caught up in the things of this world. I do all the time. I follow the news all the time, and there's a lot of evil going on in the world and a lot of things that are crazy that we can't unexplain. We can't explain. But you come inside this building, and we come to praise the person, the one person who does have the ability to solve all our problems. And you look out in the world, and you think, well, he's not solving all the problems in the world, but he will give you the peace and the understanding of what's going on in the world, what's going on with those problems. You know, it's not like you think, you know, I've got some problem with the Social Security Administration or driver's license department or something in this world, the government is driving me crazy. I can't get to anybody that can solve my problems. I can call and I have to punch buttons to get the number. I never get to talk to anybody. You know, and you think, boy, I wish I had an inside number that I could call somebody. You have an inside number. You have a direct hotline to the one person who can solve your problems. And that's the Lord. We're supposed to go to him. Excuse me, I'm breathing into that pretty hard. You have the ability to go directly to the Lord for each issue you have, whether it's your children or whether it's a parent or it's a close loved one or it's financial affairs or debts or health problems. You know, I mean, I can go to the doctor and I can try to talk to the doctor and explain my problems. I can't explain them as well as what I can explain them to the Lord. And I may not do any better job of explaining them, but the Lord hears it and he understands it better than the doctors do. You have a hotline direct to him. You don't have to worry about going through operators. You don't have to worry about going to anybody else. Because why? Because you are a child of God. Now, I can't be the judge of who are children of God, but I know you wouldn't be here today if you didn't love the Lord. And if you love the Lord, that tells me you're one of his children. You're a child of God. And that's what this book is all about. This book is not about giving you eternal life. If you didn't have eternal life already, you wouldn't be here today. So you're already ahead. We're not talking about what we do in this world has no comparison with the thousands of years. The limited time we're here has no comparison with the thousands of years that we're going to live with the Lord. What this book is about is us finding ways to solve the problems today and tomorrow. And he tells us, and that's what this entire book is about. And every problem you have in this world, the Lord will give you an answer in this book. You know, last time I spoke about Solomon, King Solomon, and we'd been doing that on Wednesday nights a lot. King Solomon's the wisest man in the history of the world other than Christ. You can go to his book of Proverbs, and every difficulty in life he talks about in that book of Proverbs somewhere. You can go read about it and study about it, and he'll give you an answer in there. Problem is, we don't take time to go read it. Studies show that people are reading the Bible less today than they ever have before. It's kind of like Jeremiah says about, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Is there no medicine in Gilead? Are there no physicians there? Well, that's a rhetorical question because, yeah, Gilead was known for its medicine. This balm, this kind of what I call aloe vera, kind of a special medicine, that's what he was talking about. There was medicine in Gilead, and all the doctors at that time would go there to do their research and figure out different ways to make this balm into medicine and use it. So he's saying, you know, yes, there. You know, is there no balm in Gilead? Absolutely there is. Is there no physicians there? Yes, there are. There were lots of doctors there. Well, if you got a medicine, I was having to jump on a friend of mine here a while back, you've got a problem that's easily solved, I said, go see a doctor. You need to go see an allergy specialist. Now, they can fix this. There's doctors and there's medicine. Go see it and go take care of it. They're there. Well, and they can. It doesn't make sense. That's what you have here. All the problems that are going on in this world right now, is there no medicine? There absolutely is. That's what this tells us. That's why we're here today. That's what this talked to us about. You got medicine to solve problems today. Are there no physicians? You got the best physician in the world. He can solve your problems. He tells us, trust in him. Trust in him that he can. He gives us all sorts of examples about when we trust him, how great power you have as an individual. And like I said, he's not a respecter of persons. He doesn't make any difference whether, you know, it's me or Brother Kenny or any of the deacons or whoever else. We don't have any more relationship or influence with the Lord than you do. Each one of you individually has a direct input to the Lord immediately now, right now, anytime you want. Are we using it like we should? No. Unless you're different from me, I don't use it like I should. But the Bible, that's what it tells me it should. If we trust in him, he will direct our paths. You know, now, we see anything, well, you know, I've had a problem and I've been praying to the Lord and he hasn't solved it immediately. The Lord may not always solve it immediately, but those people that trust to him get a solution. You remember the little lady over in the, I believe it's Luke 8, that had the issue of blood, and she'd had it for 12 years. But she kept trusting in the Lord, trusted when she saw him, and she just wanted to go up and touch the hem of his garment. When she did, she was healed. She'd had something for 12 years. It's not too late. The Lord doesn't forget about you. He's not going to forget about your prayers. We had the little lady that was in the back of the church there. I believe that. I can't remember where it was now. Luke, I think. Luke, where the little lady was in the back of the church, and for about 15, 18 years, she'd been gotten arthritis of some type. Doesn't say that in the Bible. That's my conclusion. But she'd been over at the waist. She was bowed over at the waist. Couldn't stand up. Had that for 18 years. Christ healed her. She'd probably been praying for 18 years to have something done about it. But Christ healed her there in a manner that would glorify the Lord. But he healed her immediately. How about the man that was blind? John chapter 9 had a man that was blind since birth. Blind since birth. Lord healed him. He'd been blind for a long time. Just because you've had a problem for a long time doesn't mean the Lord doesn't know about it. Doesn't mean he still can't fix it. He can fix it anytime. You may have had a family problem that's been going on for 40 years. Most of us have had. Got somebody in our family we wish the Lord could help us with. Just because he hadn't fixed it in 20 years doesn't mean he's not prepared to fix it when the time's right. Because he knows it. He knows the problem. He knows us better than we do. I remember in one place in John, I believe, there's a man that was sitting beside the pool of Bethesda. And in that days of Jerusalem, the angel of the Lord came down once a year, stirred the water in that pool. And whoever, after the angel stirred the water, whoever was first in the pool got healed. And Jesus asked him, you know, well, have you gotten in the pool? And he says, every time I've tried, I've had this cripple disease for 38 years. Every time I try to get in the pool, somebody beats me and I can't get out of my wheelchair. Nobody will help me. And I can't get into the pool quick enough to get fixed. The Lord says, pick up thy bed and walk right now. He'd been doing it, and the Lord was aware of his problem. He knew he'd been there 38 years. So sometimes the Lord has reasons for doing it. You're not missing out on anything because the Lord knows us better. He knows how to help us better than we do. Whatever problem you may have, you need to take it to him. Because even if he doesn't give you immediate solution to it, he gives you the peace that passes all understanding, to live with it, to be reconciled with it, and to work with it. He also gives you the ability to work with others who have the same thing. If you've lost a spouse, you're one of the best persons to go talk to people who have lost a spouse. You can provide them most comfort. If you've lost a child, if you've lost a parent, if you've had something happen to you, if you've had heart attack and a heart surgery, if you've had cancer taking treatments, you're one of the absolute best people to go comfort other people. The Lord uses you in that manner. And that's what I wanted to talk to you about. The second is the fact that your position in this church, not only your position, number one, I want to emphasize, you're a child of God, period. And that has tremendous benefits. Do not short sell that. Do not undercut it. That has tremendous benefits. You are a child of God already, and you should know it. I hope I didn't have to explain that, but I want to emphasize that comes with it a host of benefits. many of which we don't take advantage of, and many of we take too many times for granted. We ought to thank the Lord every day that He has revealed to me Him, that I see the need of Him. If I see a need in Him, then I've got, that means you've got eternal salvation. That's why I said, everyone here this morning, I'm not talking about saving you eternally, about any doing anything saving you eternally. I'm talking to you about taking advantage of what you have already as a child of God. For instance, let's just look at this Bible real quickly. If you go through the books of the Bible, I want you to look about what this book is about. The book of Romans over here in the first few verses here, verse 7, this is Apostle Paul writing. He's writing this letter who to? To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. If you're called to be saints, that means you're a child of God. That's who Paul's writing to. He's not writing this hoping to convince some dead-end sinner to become a child of God and join the church. He's writing it to people who know that they're children of God. He does the same thing over here in 1 Corinthians. Verse 2, unto the church of God, this is who he's writing this to, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Jesus Christ, called to be saints. I'm writing this to people that are sanctified by God. Sanctified means set aside for a holy purpose. That's who Paul's writing to, people that are already children of God. He's not writing it hoping to convince somebody to get yourself born again and be saved and become a child of God. I'm writing it to those of you who are already children of God. I'm writing this to help you out today and tomorrow in this world. This book has so many advantages to you today for what you're doing today and tomorrow. Over here in Ephesians, he's got here, blessed be to God, the Father of our, who has given us all spiritual blessings. He's writing this to the saints which are at Ephesus. If you're a saint, and Paul's calling you a saint, he already knows. He's wanting the people to read this who are already children of God. That's who this is for. Over here in the Colossians, he says, to the saints and faithful brethren of Christ in Colossians. Over here in 1 Thessalonians, knowing, brethren, beloved, our election of God. If you're one of the elect of God, then you are one of the Lord's children. Apostle Peter writes it, verse 2, I'm writing to the elect according to the foreknowledge of God our Father. And over here in Jude, he writes, mercy be unto you, peace and love be multiplied. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. You are a child of God. That's the first and foremost thing you ought to have on your mind. We ought to be thankful every day that we are a children of the Lord. And I want us to thank for a few minutes all the benefits that come with that. We have so many benefits, including a direct hotline with the Lord. If we're not using it, we ought to be using it. We ought to go to Him every day in prayer. And that's what this book is full of, is Him telling us the things that He can do for us on a daily basis. When we talk about it, we have to do something to get something. Yeah, not eternal life, but we have to do something to get the blessings of the day, what we call timely salvation. That's what this book is about. Now, if you'll worship me in this time, if you will trust me, if you'll come to me and ask, if you'll, knock on the door, I'll answer it. That's what we're talking about now. It's timely. We're not talking about eternally. When this book says all those things about come and do this, seek your own salvation, work out your own salvation, he's talking about salvation today and tomorrow. I want to go now to the 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This is where I want to spend the remainder of my time that I speak here to you this morning, because he tells us about in the church. Sometimes I get bothered because I hear people say, well, but, I don't know that. I'm not a minister. I'm not a deacon. I'm not a pastor's wife. There's things in here that I don't know and don't know. I'm not the same level as the ministers and the deacons and the wives of the minister and deacons. That's what I want to point out, but I'm talking to you and each one of you individually. This is what the Lord talks to us about. It's what Apostle Paul from the Lord talks to us about in the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians. He said, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Paul says, I want you to know and understand this. He said, there are diversities, verse 4, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. I'm going to give different gifts, the Lord says, to each one of you. They're not the same, but it's the same Lord, and you all have access to the same Spirit. One Spirit controls it all. But He set up this church as a body. And He says, you're not all alike. We don't treat you all alike. We don't give you all the same talent. But I want you to know what your talent is and to use it. And to use it for the benefit of the church and the body. And in doing so, the Lord will bless you. He'll bless your talents to grow. There are diversities of spirit, but of gifts, but the same spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. You know, Brother Kenny and I both try to serve the church. We're not alike. We don't do things alike. Our procedures are a little bit different. But we serve the same Lord. And the Lord provides people in the church diversities in administrations for the benefit of the body. There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. The Lord gives each one of you a gift to profit you and to profit the church. Now, I don't know what your gift is. I'm still trying to figure out what mine is. I don't know what your gift is, but the Lord has given you a gift. And He's given you a gift not only to help you, but to help the church and help the fellow person. I'm not talking about the ministers and deacons here or anybody that's come to church for 50 years or anybody that gives more money to the church than anybody else. I'm talking to every one of you that are here individually. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning the spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and same self Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Now I want to get into the part where he's talking to us. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. This church is composed of individual members, and then the individual members make up one body. And then he makes an analogy here to a physical body as we know it, but he makes it such a manner that we can understand it. For by one spirit, the Spirit's the same for all of us. One Spirit, we are all baptized into one body. Now, he's not talking about water baptism, which is still good, but he's talking about we're baptized by fire when you're called. When the Lord calls you and makes you aware of Him, He's baptizing you by fire into the Spirit, and that's what baptism is talking about. For by one Spirit, all we are baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, or have been made to drink of one Spirit, whether you're Jew or Gentile or black or white or brown, we're all in this body of Christ. The Lord says, I don't make any difference, distinction between black and white, Jew and Gentile, whether you're free and got a lot of money or whether you're in bondage to debt. I don't make any distinction between all of those. Every one of you is a child of God, and I brought you into the body for a reason. There's a reason you're in the church, and He wanted to point that out here. For the body is not one member, but many. He's put all of us in the church for different reasons, but He's done it to benefit the whole body. If the foot shall say, because this is where he gets into the analogy, the parables as I call it, he takes something that's a little bit complicated and gives us a simple explanation so that we'll understand it. For if the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I'm not of the body, if the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Now, if you come in here and you say, well, I'm just a member and I just sit over here and I never say anything, I'm not really part of the membership and body of this group. Paul's telling us that's wrong, and that's wrong thinking. No matter who you are, you're part of the body. You may be the hand and you may not be the foot. You may be the nose and you instead of the leg or something, but you're still a part of the body. And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, it is therefore not of the body. Just because I'm not an important person, I'm not the minister, I'm not the deacon, well, I'm just a lowly member of this church, and so I don't have much to do. And if I were to not show up on Sunday, nobody's going to miss me. If I drop out of that church, nobody's going to miss me. Apostle Paul's about to tell us that is absolutely wrong thinking. You're an important part of this body, no matter who you are. If the whole body were an eye, then who's going to do the hearing? That's what Paul's saying. If everybody's just alike, and all of us are eyes, then who's going to hear? Who's going to eat? If the whole body were hearing, then who's going to do the smelling? I mean, the Apostle Paul almost makes this a little humorous here. But he's trying to make a point to us. He gets on and says, but now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. Why it pleased him to make me a minister, I don't have a clue. But I'm trying to do the best I can up here. Now, and that's got to be a question we all each have to ask ourselves. What does God have planned for me to do in the church? What role does he want me to be? And if he is, well, if he's got me doing something, I need to do it. And if they were all of member, where were the body? If they were all of us eyes or all of us ears, then where's the body? The body's missing. That's what he's trying to tell us. He puts us all in here different, and he all does that for a reason, so that we make one complete body. And if the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. What he's saying here, ministers say, oh, I don't need you. You're not very important at all. You don't do anything. You don't add anything to church. I don't need you. That is absolutely wrong. And it works both directions. We need everyone, and every one of us has a job and a duty. And he's about to tell us that those in the church that don't appear to be too much are actually more important than the heads of the church, more important than the deacons and the ministers. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. You're necessary to this church, no matter who you are. Your service here is necessary. You serve a function here. I remember my dad used to tell me, he'd go preaching and he had a lady, and I think I remember her name, but she said, you know, I don't contribute much to church. I don't have anything to add to it at all. I just don't do much. And my dad says, she's the one I preach to. She's the one that listens. She's the one I can explain to, and I get a smile back. And she's listening to me. He said, there's not a member of that congregation that helps me out in preaching more than she does. You know, every one of you has a job. That's what he says. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. Those of who that we think, and those members of the body which we think, you know, that's our man thinking. The Lord says, you know, I don't think like a man does. We may look and I may say, well, you know, that person doesn't participate, they don't sing, they don't pay attention to us, therefore they're not very important. Paul said, we bestow on them more abundant honor. The Lord says, you're as important and maybe more important than the ministers and the deacons. And I keep using those just because that's who we think are headed up. Those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon them we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. I'm a person, I'm not even very pretty, I don't dress very nice, I sit on the back. I don't have the best house. I don't drive the best car. Lord says, upon you I bestow more abundant honor. You may be the most faithful member here. You may be the best person to pray to the Lord to help somebody. That's what he's telling us. Because you have a direct hotline to him. You may be providing more to this church than anybody else is. Number one, you're a child of God. With that comes tremendous benefits that you have right now. And then with your membership in this church, you have the duty to do the Lord's will, because you have abundant honor, no matter who you are. You have abundant honor in the sight of the Lord because you're coming to church and you're composing this body. And you know me, we all are this way. You know, I look and I see you, and I can't see you because you got 3/4 of your body covered up. You know, I've got some parts of my body I don't want you to see. You know, they don't look very pretty. They're not very comely, but they're important to my body. There's some things in my body that have to function for me to survive. You know, I have to eat, and I have to feed food, and I have to pass it on through my body. And I don't mind you seeing the eating part. I don't want you to see the part of it where I have to pass it on through. But boy, I'd be in real trouble if that part of the body didn't function, wouldn't I? And that's what he's telling us here. Even those that we think less comely have an important role here in this church. In every church, you have an important position to play. I don't care if you feel like my job is just to carry out the trash. That's a big role. And it's every bit as important and maybe has more honor than that of the minister. Many times a minister deserves little honor for what is done, especially if he's not studying and trusting in the Lord. You may be the one that should have the most honor of all the church, and probably do. And that's what Apostle Paul is conveying to us here. You have a job. And it can be very important. It may be to cook. It may be to carry out the trash. It may be to clean. It may be to visit the sick. Visit those other members of the church that can't be here. That's an important role. If you just show up here every Sunday morning, as my dad gave an example, that's important too. It's important to the minister. Because then you're providing him the encouragement you need to provide. If you just shake hands, everybody tell him hello. I walked into church one time and I saw an 85-year-old minister. He was down on his hands and knees playing with the little children, letting them know that they were just as important. Age doesn't matter either. The small children are just as important. You know, we read in this book that, you know, we see 12-year-old and 10-year-old children in here. We're giving examples. Can pray and the Lord hears their prayer. My prayer is no more important than yours, no more important than the 10, 12-year-old children in here. Everybody has that direct hotline to the Lord who's a child of God. For our comely parts have no need. You know, my head doesn't need any, you know, my head's not that pretty, but many of yours are that we show, you know. You're pretty. It doesn't need any help at all. Our comely parts have no need, but God has tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. You know, I may look good up here, and I've said this, and you know, that's the way I feel today. I may look okay up here. Inside, my body's not working properly today. I can tell you that, and I'm kind of doped up on aspirin and medicines and that and cold medicine trying to keep me functioning. And I may look good okay, but if the rest of this body's not functioning right, I'm not going to do good. In this church, ministers can get up and preach a wonderful sermon, but if all the other parts of the body are not functioning right, then it's not doing the body any good. It causes the body more harm. You have such an important role in this church. It's one of us. We're here as a body. You know, you can cut off your head or you can cut off anything. You can cut off any part of it, and it won't function the same. If you're absent, this church does not function as well. You, each one of you, you have a lot of influence on the body. A lot of influence. Not only does it benefit you, you know, and what I'm trying to teach you is by being a good part of this body, it will give you great blessings that you can deal with the problems outside this building. We can get inside here and we get a little shelter from the problems of the world. We get outside here and we get back into those problems again. Coming here and being a functioning part of this body, you can then leave here and you can help other people. You can function properly and the Lord will give you direction outside there. It's where we trust in Him. We're in here. He'll take care of us and direct our paths when we're outside in the world. That there should, he said, for our comely parts have no need, but God had tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for the other. No matter who in here gets sick, that's why we talk about that. No matter who gets sick, we all need to care about them. We all need to share the burdens one of the other. And whether one member suffer, then all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. When somebody gets an honor, we ought to all be happy. We ought to be happy for them. You know, we serve a wonderful Lord who sets us here and gives us a job to do and provides for us. Gives us help with this world. And that's what this book is about, is helping us in this world. It's not about your eternal salvation. You've already got it or you wouldn't even be here this morning. With that comes tremendous benefits, as I've tried to emphasize, that we ought to be using every day. With that also comes the duty to help out one another, which will help us individually. You have a role to play, and the Bible tells us your role is important, even if it's hauling out the trash. That role is just important. And if you're missing, we miss you. If you're missing and can't be here, we miss that part. We miss that role. We serve a wonderful Lord who has no respecter of persons. Each one of us is just as much ability, influence, and comfort with them. Each one of us has our role in this building. The Lord loves you. You're His child. You're a child of the King. He wants us all to love and be loved. I thank you for your kind attention. My prayer is that the Lord will richly bless each of you.